This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
One of the marquee issues of the 2020 Democratic campaign has been taxes. Not tax cuts, but higher taxes on the wealthiest Americans. That issue is a cornerstone of the Warren and the Sanders campaign. But these days, you don't have to be a socialist to talk about income inequality as a severe problem.
Let's talk about how to tax the rich. Woohoo!
This is a meeting that took place a couple of months ago in San Francisco.
Thank you for being here today and taking part in this incredibly important conversation. It's time for America's millionaires to start stepping up and tackling inequality head on.
Morris Pearl, who's at the mic here, is not exactly your stereotype of a fired-up leftist. He is really rich, and he's not shy in admitting it.
Being rich is great. I've done it. I recommend you all try it. It's a lot better than the alternative. And I'm not here to talk to you about altruism.
Pearl is the chair of a group that calls itself the Patriotic Millionaires, and he spoke recently with Sheila Kolhatkar, who reports for us on business and the economy.
The Patriotic Millionaires really tap into several things that I'm obsessed with right now. Income inequality, the political debate over how to address income inequality, and the ways that some wealthy people and successful business executives are struggling over how they might play a part in solving this problem. To see a group of these people really sort of publicly advocating for policies that would potentially cost them money, at least in the short term, I thought was really interesting and not something you see very often.
The main issue we're trying to address is the fact that this growing inequality, this having a country with a few rich people, lots of poor people, is not going to work in the long term.
That's Morris Pearl. He's the chairman of the Patriotic Millionaires.
Having no middle class doesn't work for the rich people. We make money from our investments when there's millions of people paying their bills on time every month. So that's the overall rubric. We're trying to address that with three policy areas. One is progressive taxation. We're in favor of rich people having higher tax rates than regular people, not the other way around. We're in favor of higher wages for working people. We think that people who work full time should make enough money to live on.
An argument you typically hear around this issue is that it will hurt small businesses, that small business owners can't afford to pay employees more. They can't afford to pay sick leave.
If small business people are thinking about the minimum wage, they should also think about their customers getting raises. And so if you look at a small business like a restaurant, having the customers with more beer money in their pockets on Friday nights is a lot more important and makes a much bigger difference than how much wages the one guy standing behind the bar pouring the beer is making. So we're in favor of higher minimum wages. And we're also wanting to reduce the influence of big money in politics. We would like to take money out of politics, especially my personal money.
In the past, we've tended to think of wealthy people as wanting one set of policies that benefit them. And then lower-income people wanting a different set of things, higher wages, for example. The Patriotic Millionaires are making the argument that what's good for the people who are lower down the economic ladder is actually better for the people at the top. Morris Pearl grew up as part of a middle-class family in upstate New York, and he actually discovered a passion for computer programming when he was in college. So he became a computer scientist, and he ended up working at a series of Wall Street firms doing complex analysis and helping to design different bond instruments.
I did investment banking work. I fell into sort of the beginning of the securitization field working on issuing what was called collateralized mortgage obligations, or still is called collateralized mortgage obligations. And that's what I was doing, and I loved doing it. And I was writing big computer programs, and I was helping my friends and myself get rich at the same time. I mean, what's not to love?
A collateralized mortgage obligation is a type of debt instrument that's made up of a bunch of mortgages that are bundled together and turned into an investment. And they played a significant role in causing the financial crisis. Although Morris did become very wealthy, in part by helping to design some of these debt instruments, he never thought of his work in political terms, and he certainly never thought about his wealth as being connected in any way to politics. He really wasn't political at all until his wife got connected with the Howard Dean campaign in 2004.
He was campaigning on sort of against being at war with Iraq. In my mind, it was an opportunity to do something as opposed to just hanging around complaining. And we wanted to go see the convention in Boston that year. And I thought we could watch on TV, but a few phone calls later and a few tens of thousands of dollars later, we were ensconced at the Four Seasons Hotel and playing pool with Ben Affleck and sitting in the upper deck when the skinny guy from Chicago gave his Purple State speech.
The pundits like to slice and dice our country into red states and blue states. Red states for Republicans, blue states for Democrats. But I've got news for them, too. We worship an awesome God in the blue states, and we don't like federal agents poking around in our libraries in the red states.
So you learn pretty quickly about the power of money in terms of generating political access, it sounds like.
Access, yeah. I mean, for a few tens of thousands of dollars, you can become anybody's best friend.
After the financial crisis, Morris worked as part of a group that traveled around the world and helped countries value problematic debt that they were struggling to deal with. This work that he was doing led him to a meeting in Athens where he had a kind of epiphany.
We were in the top floor of this fancy office building on Sophocleus, right in downtown Athens. And I was picking up some chocolate pudding for dessert. I kind of walked to the window so people wouldn't see I was having two chocolate puddings for dessert. And then I thought I was watching a parade. I was thinking to myself, well, it's not a holiday or we wouldn't be working today if it was a holiday. Why is there a parade? Then I realized they were having a demonstration. And I kind of turned around finishing dessert and I looked around. And I thought to myself, is it really doing any good for the rest of the people of Greece, other than these guys who are trying to run this bank, which we were trying to help? And, you know, a few months later, in early 2014, I just started doing politics and policy work full time. I just thought that was the best way I could contribute to the well-being of, you know, my children and hopefully grandchildren.
Did the Patriotic Millionaires find you initially, or did you find them?
I'd been enjoying getting involved in politics here and there. I'd been meeting a lot of people, some bright, young PR professional people started this group to get a bunch of wealthy people together and put out a letter saying, no, our taxes should not be lowered.
A set of tax cuts, including cuts for the very rich that had been passed by George W. Bush, were set to expire around halfway through President Obama's first term. This was before Morris became chairman of the group.
And he thought we were kind of dorks for attacking him from the left, or at least that's what Ms. Jarrett said he thought. But then they realized that we were actually helping to give them political space to do what they actually wanted to do. Our group is different than a lot of other advocacy groups. There are groups that can mobilize hundreds of people. We don't have hundreds of people in any one city. I don't think I could get 20 people in any one room. But we do have dozens of people who can, like that, get members of Congress on the phone for 5 minutes to explain to them why they should vote for the Raise the Wage Act. So we are in a different position than other advocacy groups, and we try to do what we can to help make progress.
What's the argument you make to someone like you who may not currently see things the way you do?
Well, I try to make the same arguments that I make with you. I explain that the current system is leading towards civil unrest. I saw it on the streets in Athens, Greece, the cradle of democracy. I saw it on election night in 2016. People are not accepting the status quo. And eventually, people are going to say, we're not going to take it anymore. You know, gross inequality did not end well in South Africa for the rich people either.
There are other groups that help wealthy people use their money more responsibly, that promote socially aware investing, for example. But I'm not aware of any groups that are as high profile and politically active as the Patriotic Millionaires. I think a big part of what it's going to take to really make structural changes in the economy that will help alleviate some of the really alarming disparity that we've seen is to create a sort of cultural change around this subject. And having a group of wealthy, successful business people, heirs to family fortunes, going out and talking about this helps create a climate where these ideas are much more acceptable. They help counter the idea that the winners in our economy want one system and everyone else wants something else. I read a piece that you wrote expressing support for Elizabeth Warren's proposed wealth tax. Why do you think that could potentially work?
Now, Warren Buffett pointed out that he pays a lower tax rate than his assistant. Yet Warren Buffett had about $12 million of taxable income the last year that I checked. But really, his wealth increased by billions of dollars that year and almost every year. No amount of taxes on what we call taxable income would have any material effect on the wealth of someone like Mr. Buffett. So that's why a wealth tax would be an important part of this. Over the course of some years, the very wealthiest would be paying in more of their money. And the rest of the people would have to shoulder a smaller piece of the burden of whatever amount of revenue the government needs to run the country.
If you potentially would have to pay such a tax, would you still support it?
Yes. You know, I don't particularly want to pay more taxes personally, but I want the system to be fair, and I want my children, and now I have a grandchild, to grow up with the kind of opportunities that I had. That's what I really want. I mean, what's the purpose of making money if not to make the lives of your children better?
Morris Pearl, a former managing director of BlackRock and the chairman of the Patriotic Millionaires. He spoke with Sheila Kolhatkar, a staff writer at The New Yorker.